It's time now for the Success is Subjective podcast. Here is your host and therapeutic consultant for young adults only, Joanna Lilly.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today, my guest is Dr. Heather Tracy. Dr. Tracy is the co-founder and executive director of Costa Rica's New Summit Academy Boarding School, the Bridge Young Adult Program, Pathfinder Gap Program, and the Supportive Immersion Institute. Dr. Tracy was a presidential scholar at St. Louis University, where she received an honors BA in psychology and French. She then attended Harvard Graduate School in Education to complete a master's in education with a focus on culture and human development, specifically focusing on at-risk adolescents. Heather studied abroad in France for a year in college, served 1 year in Costa Rica as a World Teach volunteer, and has been passionate about designing effective learning experiences for non-traditional learners ever since. Dr. Tracy is trilingual and has lived in Costa Rica since 2002. When not working, Heather enjoys traveling, dancing, yoga, reading nerdy books, adopting pets, and spending time with her husband and toddler. Okay, let's get to my interview now with Dr. Tracy on today's edition of Success is Subjective. All right, Heather, I'm really excited for you carving out some time to chat with me all the way from your home in Costa Rica. So thanks for making this happen.
Por la vida, con mucho gusto. Happy to be here.
Clearly, I'm not bilingual, but we are going to have a conversation about how you got to where you are, because I think that is what makes you just an amazing individual, like a human being personally and professionally. So that obviously I'm already front loading a lot of what this conversation is probably going to be about. But I mean, I think I know a little bit of your backstory in terms of like where you grew up, but I don't know if everybody else knows it. So why don't you just tell us, like, where did you actually grow up? And then most importantly, kind of segue right into like, what did you do after high school? Because I don't actually know if I know that part of your story.
Yeah, thanks, Joanna. Yeah, most people don't expect that I grew up on a farm. My parents were farmers. I lived the Midwestern farm girl life. And actually, college wasn't necessarily even on the radar. I think in general for my generation, it was. But in terms of like the pressure on me by my parents or anything like that, it wasn't necessarily the path that I was supposed to take. So it was. I can actually credit high school teachers who really said, you need to go, you need to go study. And so I, in some ways, that's probably why I ended up in education in general, just because of the influence that my high school teachers had on me. Mr. Kelly and Mr. Archer in particular, who literally brought me college applications and said, you need to do this. And if you need help paying the fee, let me know. So I ended up applying to, I think, only 4 or 5 colleges, which is another huge difference from today's generation. And got into all of them and ended up choosing to go to the one that gave me a full scholarship. So I actually had no financial backing to go to college in the first place. So it was a huge blessing to be able to go for 4 years for free and with this scholarship that afforded me, you know, some special opportunities like studying abroad my junior year. And so I entered college actually as a pre-med biology major because I always wanted to be a doctor. That I had my heart set on that since I was a little girl. But when this opportunity came to study abroad, I just thought, how do you turn that down? It's free. It's a part of this experience. How do I not go? But if I went, I had to change my major because I wasn't going to be able to complete the biology degree with all of the labs and all of that stuff in 4 years. So it was kind of a big decision, but I just said, I'll figure it out. And I went and learned French. I actually have a degree in French, which has been useless since then, but it's just a representation of the time I spent there and the language I learned and the Eurail pass that I traveled all over Europe with, backpacking and just really blowing my mind with travel, because I didn't grow up having those opportunities. So when I came back, you know, I had just by chance taken enough psychology classes out of interest that I was like, yeah, this is going to be my other major, psychology. So I guess the first piece of advice there for our listeners is do take classes and study what's of interest to you. You don't know if it's going to be valuable in the future or not. So if you are interested in something and it does motivate you, like go for it. So I ended up graduating college with a psychology and French degree, which is also a little challenging to just think like, oh, there's a job waiting for me right here, and not so much. I'm gonna have to keep going to school. So I applied to graduate schools and got into multiple options and chose to go to Harvard, which is the Graduate School of Education, because they had an education and psychology master's degree, and you could even self-study in adolescence. And I just always been interested in teenagers. I love the way that they think. I love that like passion and desire for autonomy and like wanting to figure things out, wanting to be an adult, but not being quite ready or not having mastered all those skills yet. So it was an age group that I thought was really interesting. And that was kind of, teenagers get a bad reputation. And I don't think we harness like all the potential that they have because they do want to figure things out. And we don't give them enough credit for that. So then I went and got my master's degree, and my parents were like, our daughter just went to Harvard. She's going to go get a job and be successful. And I was like, nope, I'm going to join a volunteer program. And I'm going to go to any Spanish-speaking country, because at that point I just wanted to learn Spanish, because I had been working in the public school system in Boston doing research. And I also got attracted to sort of the underserved populations, which happened to be a lot of immigrants. And so I could speak French. I was working with a lot of Haitian families, and I could speak Spanish, or I couldn't speak Spanish to work with some of the Latin American immigrants. So I joined WorldTeach, which is a volunteer program, and basically said, send me to a Spanish-speaking country, I don't care where. And they sent me to Costa Rica, where I lived in the middle of nowhere for a year with a homestay family, dirt floor and chickens running around and everything, with grandma, aunt, uncle, four siblings, sorry, five siblings, three cousins, the whole deal. Taught English in the elementary school system for a year, hitchhiked, backpacked, learned Spanish, learned to merengue and salsa and cumbia, if you like that. And so that's kind of like my journey of how I got to Costa Rica. And then from that point on, it was a series of opportunities. I would love to tell you that I had this amazing business plan and I had all of these things lined up, but I really didn't. I had ideas of where I wanted to go, what I might want to do, but opportunities that I wasn't expecting showed up, and I took advantage of those opportunities. And that's how I ended up staying in Costa Rica and working, and then eventually opening New Summit Academy, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, it almost sounds like as you're talking, like the way that I am interpreting your journey, like you kind of described, is anytime an opportunity presented itself, you are willing to explore it and make basically an informed decision. Is this going to lead me down something that appeals more to me, or like, doesn't put me in debt, or will open more doors, or will give me access to potentially working with this population that I'm interested in working with moving forward? And so, like, every little twist and turn has led you to where you are now, like you said. A multi-business owner still living in Costa Rica, definitely bilingual at this point, multilingual, obviously, if you're speaking French too, but operating several businesses within. I mean, this is a silly question. Are you a Costa Rican resident now? How does that work? Just random.
Yes, I am a permanent resident of Costa Rica and have been for several years, and
Okay.
am just now going to go for the citizenship test, but I have to study a little bit. I have to study to take my test.
So in hearing kind of all of this, like leading to where you are too, I'm just kind of curious, what do you feel like you've learned about yourself along your journey leading to where you are now?
I guess I don't see myself as a risk taker. And yet, I'm realizing now that I am, or I was, because I think I've always considered myself like a very cautious, careful person, responsible. But I think more and more when people are like, "You did what? You went where? You did how? And you're doing what now?" So I think just from feedback that I've gotten, I feel like maybe I am more or was more of an adventurous risk taker than I thought. But in my head, it wasn't adventure, it wasn't risk, it was more like learning. I just wanted to learn something else. whether that was traveling
Yeah.
or meeting people or learning a language or exploring a different culture. I wanted to learn and learn something to be of help to people, I think is the other key
Yeah.
component to that.
Next question, and I'm kind of formulating this thought. Is there anything, I mean, I feel like I probably know the answer to this, but I'm just going to ask you, kind of knowing literally the truncated version of where you grew up and kind of the culture in which you were raised on through to the like Cliff Notes version of where you are now and kind of the journey that where you took along the way. I'm just kind of curious if there's anything, you know, in your past, if you could go back, would you change anything?
No, I really wouldn't. It was not easy. I mean, it was super hard at times. I mean, in college and in grad school, I worked at least three jobs, even though I had financial aid and scholarships. I nannied, I waited tables, I worked at like one of those business centers where you like call and ask people for donations. I don't think I slept all that much. It was hard. And even, you know, there were certain things that happened that really set, you know, really were hard to process and hard to get over. And, you know, you could call them traumatic at some level, but I think, like, I don't know where I would be if I had let those things win, I guess. I think there was always something inside me that just said, sort of, who cares what other people think? I'm just gonna do this for me. Like, I'm gonna prove to myself that I can do this or that, you know. And I think not getting so caught up in what other people thought was actually really beneficial for me to just keep, you know, doing what I was doing because it was not a traditional path at all. And just try. You know, it's not a traditional path. There was no blueprint. And I guess the other thing I would say that's important is that I did have some important mentors along the way, older, more experienced people who I listened to and who I learned from. And I think being humble enough to just hear other perspectives, get advice from people. It not only, you know, I didn't have to do what they said, but it helped me process what am I doing? What do I want to do next? What do I need to think about if I'm going to do this? So I think that was also an important part of not giving up, of having the courage to try something new or to try something that I was passionate about, but maybe wasn't prepared to do.
I was just going to segue into the question, kind of as you were talking about your experiences, knowing your educational history and your employment experience, and again, leading to where you are now, I always ask the loaded question, do you see yourself as successful?
I don't think it matters, really. I mean, I think, do I see myself as fulfilled? Do I have a reason to get up in the morning? Yes. Am I bored at my job? No. There's always something interesting to figure out. There's always someone to support. There's always people to support me. If you look at the superficial definition of success, I don't know. I don't look at that. I never have trouble getting up in the morning. Yes, there are moments when I get stressed out, and there are days when I'm like, oh, when's retirement? How many more years? But that's life. I think like, and I think to expect every day to just be full of joy and happiness and peace is like not realistic and not interesting, honestly. So.
I think I could just end this podcast right here with Heather's definition of or answer to that question. Like that was the best mic drop moment ever. Like who cares?
Who cares?
Truly. I love that.
Well,
Oh, that just like totally fired me up.
and I will say when you started this podcast years ago and you named it Success is Subjective, I just giggled because back when I was young and thought I could write a book or something of value to the world, I actually started this little outline and the title was Success is Subjective. I don't know if I ever told you that, but I think that's
You
one of the most
didn't.
No, I didn't. But we could co-write it now. But I think it's just something I kept saying, like to the parents of the kids I was working with. Like, oh, I just want him to be successful. I just want him to be happy. And I'm like, you have to get those words out of your vocabulary or define them so well that your kid knows what you're talking about because otherwise he's going to interpret success and happiness as something that you may not mean. but that is what we're sort of like flooded with culturally. That is probably one of the main reasons we're not successful and not happy, because it's so unrealistic.
Truly.
And so, yeah.
I'm going to ask one more question. So if you could give, I think I like the idea of giving advice, and there's been actually, I feel like, little nuggets that have been dropped in the messaging that you've shared, right? Like, hey, this is for parents, like define what it is that you mean, communicate effectively. Oh, hey, mentors, pay attention to those folks because they matter in your life. So you've actually kind of infused some really valuable recommendations and advice during this brief interview. But I'm just curious if you could give any advice. I think that this is really specific and unique. And this is why I adore you personally and professionally. And so obviously I'm a little bit biased. But I think for those who don't know you and don't know your story, hearing from somebody who could give advice of like, what do you need to know if you're living abroad and trying to create something, right? To make a life, to make a business, to like just get settled. Like, what advice would you give to somebody who is in that process or considering that?
Two words come to mind. One is humility. Like, be humble. Don't judge. Like, just if you're going to be abroad or if you're going to be in a different culture, go respectfully, go humbly to learn from people. Don't go in there with your own perspective of my way is right and or the American way or whatever it is that sometimes we do when we're traveling or when we're immersing culturally. So be humble. Just be curious and see what you can learn, number one. And number two is be open. But I think openness, whether you're abroad or at home, and humility, actually, both of them. So, but I think that certainly I have some funny stories that are too long for this podcast about my first few years of immersing in Costa Rica and some of the, you know, mistakes I made thinking that I was connecting or thinking that I was, you know, interacting in a culture in a certain way. But I think what I learned very quickly is humility, don't judge, and be open. If somebody says, hey, do you want to go check out this swimming hole and waterfall, say yes, just go. Just go. What have you got to lose?
So true. Okay, well, I feel like that could be potentially a call to action for somebody to, like, if they are curious, right? I know you said, hey, I could definitely fill more time talking about some of the lessons learned, potentially the hard way, during the first years of you living abroad. I think it would be awesome for folks to reach out to you, use this kind of as the extended arm or hand being kind of put out there as an offering of, yeah, happy to fill you in more. Or we can even table it like, you know, Heather 2.0 follow-up interview, talking more specifically about the joys of those first few years of moving abroad.
Yeah. I'm happy to support, advise, cheer anything that, especially someone who wants to travel or study abroad or immerse themselves to learn a new language, learn a new culture, or just become a better human being by taking on an experience like that. Happy to do it.
Well, and I also think it speaks to the educational experiences that you've had also provide a little bit of clout, right, for those that do care about college names and prestige. But more importantly, I think the way that you have used your degrees to continue to propel you again to where you are now really just speaks volumes about, I don't think it's risk-taking. I know you were kind of contemplating that earlier, like, is this risk-taking? I don't think so. I think it just put you in the perfect position to be set up for, again, any fork in the road, really, really thinking about, you know, which direction do I want to go, which opportunity or which direction is going to lead me down a path that will provide more opportunities or more forks in the road that will continue to just kind of build upon the education and experiences that you've had.
Yeah, it's fun to be creative and to think about what the next steps are. And I guess that's my last piece of advice is like, create a vision, even if it's just for fun, you know, create different visions for yourself. Keep the doors open. Don't shut yourself off from any opportunities. You'll make the decision when you need to, but keep yourself open to those opportunities. That was not as much of a mic drop. That was not as much of a mic drop as the other one. You may just want to cut that out.
No, I'm keeping it. I'm keeping all of it. I can't cut it out. No, Heather, I really appreciate you being willing to share your story, being vulnerable in kind of some of those moments of like the experiences that you've had and the opportunities. And then obviously, like I said, weaving in a lot of that advice and kind of gift giving of your wisdom and in your experiences to the audience. And then I'll still say it again, if you have any interest in following up with Heather to hear more comically about her initial transition to living abroad, I encourage you to do that. Her contact information will be in the show notes. And Heather, thanks again for taking out the time in your day to chat with me.
Same here, Joanna. Always a pleasure.
That's it for this week's Success is Subjective episode. We want to thank our guests for joining Joanna on the show this week and for being willing to share your journey. This podcast would not exist if it weren't for people such as yourself. Stay tuned for our next episode, where you can bet it'll be another amazing human sharing their personal story with the world. Make sure you check out the show notes, where you will find contact information, website details, and all social media for our guest. Put a face with a voice by accessing their interview on the newly formed successissubjective.org website. If you are interested in being a guest on the podcast, you can email Joanna at joanna@successissubjective.org. Be sure to check out the collegealternative.org and lilyconsulting.com websites for additional resources outside of podcasting. If you are listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe to the show. And while you're at it, feel free to leave a review. You can also download to listen to the Success is Subjective podcast on other popular podcast apps such as Audible, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Last but not least, Success is Subjective is listener supported, made possible by our team and by you. You can support this podcast by joining the Patreon community at patreon.com/successissubjective. Thank you for tuning in, and remember, there is no single path through life. Success is what you make it. Do you have a teenager or young adult who seems to have lost their way? Maybe they need help navigating adolescence, adulthood, and decisions surrounding higher education. Or maybe they have become withdrawn, their grades are slipping, or they are flat out living a reckless lifestyle and you're concerned about their health and well-being. If this describes what your teen or young adult is facing, a therapeutic consultant may be able to help. Mental health, addiction recovery, and higher education can all be equally expensive. While information is everywhere, how do you know what option is the best one for your family? Some parents have the time to research and navigate this on their own. Some don't. If the latter applies to you, enter therapeutic consultants. Therapeutic consultants, like Joanna, listen to your family's specific needs and advocate on behalf of your loved one. TCs will research therapeutic resources, recommend treatment programs, and assist during adulthood transitions. Not being affiliated with any program, their support is completely objective and catered toward the best interest of each unique family. To find a qualified therapeutic consultant to work with, check out TCA, also known as the Therapeutic Consulting Association. Their website is therapeuticconsulting.org, all one word. Again, that's therapeuticconsulting.org. Then click the Find a Pro tab up at the top.